Hello and welcome to another edition of the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dott, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as always, your host for the podcast. Today, we conclude our 2017 New Year's podcast series as we're joined by Carl Watney. Carl is the director of sales for Canada Jive Communications, a new sponsor of the site for 2017, and he joins us to discuss the cloud-based UC market. Carl gives us a little bit of Jive's background, first as Easy Office Phone, and then through acquisition, Jive Canada. He touches on the company's partnering strategy and the opportunity for partners as the company sees it. So let's get right into it, my interview with Carl Watney. Carl, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Rob. Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
You're a new sponsor to the site for this year, but obviously not a new face to the channel. Jive's been around for a while in the channel under this name and previous. Perhaps can you give us a little bit of the background of the company, its history in the Canadian market?
Sure. So Jive acquired a company called Easy Office Phone, and that's where I've come from. Mm-hmm. Easy Office Phone's been operating in Canada as early as 2005, so we've been around for a while. And because of the similar DNA or culture within the two organizations, that we have a focus on channel and working with partners like MSPs and IT companies, it was a natural a fit for Jive and folding us into the family. So we've been under the Jive banner since 2015, August. So just going over a year and a half. And so far, it's been a very good transition. Like I said, there's a lot of similarities between the companies, very aggressive, and the way that we operate and market. So just to tell you a bit more broad brushstrokes on Jive itself, again, Jive was formed, or actually the head office was out of Orem, Utah, out of the States. And they have been operating since 2006. Proprietary platform. The nice thing with Jive is they're very, very motivated on delivering a customer experience that they control, and have tried to bring all of their PBX features and services and applications. They've kept them all in-house. So we're doing a lot of expansion with regards to our direction on the actual platform and applications, that type of thing in-house. That said, we are pushing over 500 employees now. We're in the top four fastest growing VoIP companies in North America. Mm-hmm. And in our space, we are the only privately owned organization playing at that level. The 2016 has been an interesting year for Jive, just with a lot going on and bringing the company back and reorganizing it to take it over what we call the chasm and going into the next era, if you will, of the VoIP industry. And that's taking it just from being a product that plays a lot in the SMB space, but retooling and opening up new APIs in enterprise and focusing more on our game plan to market, and our strategy is focusing more on industry verticals. So that has been the big emphasis in 2016. Our 2017 roadmap is looking like we want to focus on more opening up APIs, so open APIs, integrating into the applications that our partners and clients are looking to, form one ecosystem. So it's easier for them that they can operate their business or drive new business as a partner through platforms a lot more efficiently. Okay, the focus in Canada is in 2017, we're looking to launch the new product out of the States into Canada. We're very excited about that. The new products and services, I'll give you a quick lineup on that, Rob, offering new products and services such as applications that are proprietary to our platform. So we're going to be first to market in Canada with applications like Jive Mobile, which gives you video calling, SMS, text messaging, if you will. We've got Jive Desktop, which gives you the ability to click the dial on pop screens and use our soft phone straight out of Chrome through WebRTC. We've got Jive Video, so it's a collaboration platform where you can share your screen and do video calling. We've also focused on expanding our PBX system to be able to cater to small and SMEs, small business and medium enterprise, mm-hmm. in the way that we're offering a contact center solution. So rather than it being a call center, we're focusing on expanding the products to cater to technical support and sales departments, all right, who are taking a lot of calls in, inbound. So being able to manage multiple call queues and pulling metrics straight out of the system, it's something we've been very focused on. We've also launched a new call center platform, which is scalable into the thousands. So there's a lot going on that way. However, bringing that product into Canada is exciting because it is going to bring those applications that are just not available today,
right.
With other products. The 2017 initiative for us is it's a big focus on applications and APIs. Being able to offer an integrated product that goes into cornerstone applications in different industries, we feel is an important piece, and we're picking our battles, so to speak, with very specific industry verticals. All right, so that's kind of our focus going into 2017.
All right, great. You touched off the top on the partner-centric strategy, both originally from Easy Office Phone and from Jive as well, and now obviously from the combined entity. Can we get into a little bit what your partner profile kind of is currently? You know, who are the folks you're working with? Not obviously names, but in terms of profile and type of business that you find generally has a fair bit of traction with you thus far.
Okay. So we have got a very diversified portfolio of partners. We range all the way from small MSPs mm-hmm. through to large interconnects. And they can range all the way from, you know, two operating as small as two employees all the way up into the hundreds. So we can diversify across whatever the needs are for the partner, whether it is a turnkey solution that they go straight to market with that's branded as Jive through to our full-service partner program, which can be fully white-labeled and billed by the partner. Of course, there's caveats there to make sure that they're able to do that without it impacting their business. So we're very focused on what our partners need. We've built out a lot of web tools to make it a very simple process. So currently, one of the big pieces we offer to our partners is a quote to cash tool, which is web-based. And it allows our partners to literally quote and deploy in a matter of 15 to 20 minutes. We've automated everything from, let me just walk you through that process, probably be a little easier.
Sure.
So you can go on and you can pull a quote or a proposal down within literally 2 minutes with our products and go everything from the voice products to contact centers to internets. We are an ISP as well, which we bundle everything together, and I'll get more into that shortly, all the way through to the hardware. And we're our agnostic, so we can go all the way from Polycom through to Cisco through Yealink to VTech. So really, we don't mind as long as it's open SIP. And we're also very, very focused on zero touch with that process, which I'll touch on a bit shortly as well. So once they've gone and pulled out the proposal, they can send it off to the client. Client likes it, press a button. They literally start building the account. We have an electronic MSA they can push out as well, which takes 20, 30 seconds to get off to the client. Once it comes back, we drop the user information in. We've got an automated porting process in that tool as well. So like I was saying, from original quote through to getting an active account where the client can literally start using it and testing that all the trees and it's been structured and crafted properly, to the point where once they have their phones, they literally just plug them in and they're up and operating. So very, very efficient process, and that's what we try and focus in on our partners is we understand that we're another tool in the toolbox, and when they're trying to socialize an ecosystem to the customer that's going to touch on, you know, servers to backup to SaaS recovery to whichever, we're just one of those products that bring to the table. So the more we can help them take that product and explain it and train them and make them feel confident about it, to taking a lot of the lift out of the back end where they're having to build out the accounts and all the rest of it. That's what we try and focus on, all right, for our partners. Another little piece that I haven't actually mentioned, ISP, mm-hmm. we're also This type of product has been done very, very successfully and been adopted in the SMB space. So, as a cloud provider hosting something in the cloud, we understand that a lot of these types of products are subject to the type of internet service they have. We formed an ISP for the simple reason that we wanted to be able to deliver the product and experience in a way that we can control it and not have take those variables or factors out that really impact the quality of the calls with jitters and packet loss latency, that type of thing. So we've wholesaled from all the major carriers here where we'll deliver an internet service with our voice service, which is all layer two. So we take all the packets and put it on a private layer. We can control those packets from start to finish from the client side to our data centers. So we're in the major centers like 151 Front Street as an example. Mm-hmm. So we can control those in order to from A to Z, which is also on technology, which is cost effective and at a price point that can be tolerated, right, by the customers in that space. So whether it's Ethernet over cable or a fiber to the node type product, we sell it at the same price as our competitors with that type of technology built in or baked into it. That's something we bundle with our service. So whether it is fax, toll-free conferencing, internet, the actual equipment, we bundle it all into one monthly service fee, right, per user. So it's literally turnkey for our partners. And that's one of the key factors is there's a lot of moving parts to it, but we try and make it as simple as possible. That there is, you don't have to go and talk when you should do fax here and you should do, you need a conferencing line, you should go and buy that. It's all baked in and turnkey into the customer. All right. So another piece to our channel, which is think it's very important, and it's part of our Jive strategy for the future and our global growth, is the acquisition of Easy Office Phone in 2015 is a prime example of what we're trying to do with our global expansion. Rather than acquire companies and sell from afar, as you see a lot of our friends or our competitors in this space will sell from the U.S. as an example into this market. What we've decided to do is if we're going into markets, we wanted to treat that market with respect and bring the right resources and facilities required to do the job properly. So acquisitions like Easy Office Phone allows us to merge the existing infrastructure and resources into Jive's family and offer sales, support, and quality of service in that global zone. All right, rather than having everything offshore and economies of scale certainly dictate that makes more sense. However, we've decided we want to do it right. So our global expansion is we want to bring the resources and the infrastructure into those zones to do it properly.
All right, great. Obviously, not something you'd face among your current partner base. But I'm surprised sometimes that we haven't seen voice become a bigger part of the quote unquote standard MSP offering or greater penetration into that MSP community. Can you share with me a little bit sort of what you hear from partners in terms of, or potential partners in terms of their feelings around voice, potentially their objections there, and of course your view on why voice for the IT centric MSP?
Yeah, great question. It's pretty simple. You've heard all these horror stories from some of the early players in the space and doing such a poor job that it's a matter of, do I want to bring a product in that I'm not confident to talk to, but also they're not confident that it's stable enough that mm-hmm. it's going to impact my relationship with my client. So, and that's the whole reasoning behind my last statement is we want to bring the infrastructure, the support, and the sales teams in to do the job properly, and that way they can take that piece, that factor out of the equation. So being able to get the right training so you're confident to talk about it is something we bring to the table through video, through weekly webinars, but you also get a dedicated channel account manager to help you get to that point, and we'll hold your hand as long as you need. But also by bringing the infrastructure into the country or into that territory or global zone, I should say, that eliminates the issues of having, your traffic or your calls going all the way down into the U.S. or wherever those centers are based, and then back up even when you're making a call across the street. You know, there's a lot of hops and a lot of things that could cause issue. So that's the first factor. The second piece is with partners, bringing on a new product into their portfolio is not as easy as just signing a document and saying, hey, we sell this now. There's a lot of impact to your resources and your staff and whatnot trying to bring that product in. So, again, it's extremely important that we have a very fleshed out onboarding orientation program, which we have. We focus a lot of our time and energy on making sure that you're comfortable with the product, to the point that we give you 50% off to our partners who take our product in-house and they drink their own Kool-Aid kind of thing. We also offer, you know, what we call like a wall bag, where they can take we'll seed them with phones and an actual demo account so they can talk to it, they can plug it in, they can let the client play around and kick it around, kick the tires and look under the hood kind of thing. So giving them those types of resources and tools and support makes the makes it very, very easy for the a new product to be brought in. So they're the main concerns, and quality, of course, right? So I did touch on quality. We're bringing our infrastructure into the country, but we're at a point in this industry where we're actually that's not becoming a factor anymore. You know, we've got 28 data centers across the U.S., 3 across Canada. We are a distributed network architecture where we can hot fail to any one of our centers. So we do have a lot of redundancy inherently built in. We also have a lot of features built into the actual PBX itself that give you that disaster recovery type procedure, which is native to the actual PBX. So there's a lot of other things I could touch on, but yeah, the main one being is just onboarding and feeling confident with the product. And I hope that answers your question, Rob.
Absolutely, yeah. I think it gives me a feel for what you're doing to address those concerns and sort of the value prop to partners, why partners should consider working with you guys on Managed Voice.
Well, you know, that kind of segues into another piece, which we didn't really talk about, is how do you pick a good partner in this industry to go to market with. And, you know, there is an ocean of VoIP companies out there. You know, you've got your mom and pop shops who are offering a lot of the time an Asterix or a small PBX, which they're hosting themselves in a small data center and a lot of redundancy. And it's those types of players that tend to make it difficult for us to sell into the market, being that it's a race to zero, but also when they're doing a lot of poor calls with they're wholesaling cheaper minutes to keep the price down, and they're hosting a lot of it themselves in smaller data centers, which just doesn't have the redundancy, that becomes a big education for us to start re-educating the industry and our partners on what we bring to the table. So looking at there's probably 4 major components that you want to look at when you're looking for a good product to bring into your portfolio. One is infrastructure. All right, what are your redundancy? Is it your product or is it a third party? What are the resources that come with that organization with regards to when a partner calls in, are they going to pick up the phone and be able to have the right type of experience and knowledge base to be able to support you on making that product work properly or resolve any issues. The third piece is, how do I get trained and how do I go to market? So we've got some, you need to be able to look at what is this partner bringing to the table to help me get this to market? Is it just, you know, here's some videos and read a couple of brochures, or are they literally helping me retool my website, SEO, you know, my T's and C's, whatever it needs to be able to go to market with a very regimented approach, mm-hmm. is very important. All right, because rather than just throwing it out there and when you sell something, scrambling to try and make it work is definitely not the right approach to keep customers. And the last piece being that, are you confident in the product? You know, you've got to be able to work with this company. Do you feel like this is an organization that is going to be there for you and you're confident with their product and the company itself? So there's the 4 big things that I'd be looking for.
All right, brilliant. A little earlier, you touched on the idea of integrations being very key, especially going forward in an area you're going to focus on. Can you tell us a little bit more about where you're integrating today and sort of the roadmap for future integrations?
Okay, so we already have a lot of APIs. You know, we've got Redtail, we've got Salesforce, Dynamics. So all the major CRMs, we already have those types of APIs there. What we want to do is we want to open up a lot of the APIs that we currently have on top of building in new ones and also offering an SDK stack. We want to be able to go deeper with those APIs so you can customize and integrate deeper into those different applications. So that's a big focus. And I also mentioned verticalizing. So we've had a big push this year on in the legal industry. Just looking at what their requirements are. So really pulling that industry apart and looking at security, looking at the integration, what type of applications they use, and what we need to bring to the table so it's very, very turnkey and an easy process. So who are those cornerstone products in those industries? And how much integration do we need to offer through our APIs? On top of that, being able to offer an open API, so you can go and take our service and plug it into an obscure, maybe a private or a proprietary type CRM, as an example. The other piece is looking and coming back to our partners. I mean, it's all nice to have these great APIs to go into these different applications, but stepping back, we also want to look at what our partners are using. So as an example, I'm actually attending the ConnectWise event today. ConnectWise, Autotask, AB, I can't remember the third one, it's going to come off the top of my lips. But anyway, these are CRMs that MSPs are using, which are a lot more than just CRMs. I really like a Salesforce on steroids specifically built for that. So we already integrate with ConnectWise as an example. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to flip-flop between our platform and the ConnectWise platform. You can go in. You can sync your accounts that have our service, and you're able to ticket straight out of ConnectWise. So you're not having to go in and put tickets into our system and come back and update yours. It's a two-way ticketing system that we already built in. In fact, when we went to ConnectWise just about 3 or 4 years ago when we built this API, because we've done a lot of our code on Ruby on Rails, there wasn't anything in ConnectWise. We actually went to the point where we went and built that stack for them to be able to connect into our system. And believe since then, I mean, ConnectWise has done leaps and bounds with regards to what they've been doing for that community who are integrating with them. So kudos to them. However, again, we want to look at those types of platforms for integration to be able to reduce the impact to our partners' resources, right, and timelines and all the rest of it. So 2017 is the year of the API for us, for sure.
All right, perfect. Before we sign off here, any parting shots for the Canadian channel community?
Yes, we are excited to be in Canada. We are bringing new products and services that you can't get anywhere else. We're delivering in a way that's very, very easy to get to market with and work with us. We're investing a lot in the Canadian market and employing a lot. So we have an office in Quebec City. We have an office in Montreal. We have an office in Burlington, Ontario. We are filling those with dev, sales, and support. In fact, we're hitting the 30, but we're going to like 85 developers in Canada alone. So we are heavily invested in the Canadian market. We believe in this market as the next tier or natural progression out of the U.S. We understand how this market is progressing. In fact, the Canadian market with this particular type of product is roughly 12 to 18 months behind the adoption rate of what we're seeing in the U.S. Mm. So we are getting ready to give you the right tools and products and services to be able to go to market in a way that when that wave does hit this market, that you're going to have the right assets and the right resources and support to be able to do it successfully.
All right, perfect. Carl, appreciate you taking the time, and we'll chat again soon here on the show.
I appreciate your time too, Rob. Have a good day.
So there you have it. The UCAAS Market in Canada, according to Carl Watney. I'd like to thank Carl for joining us and thank Jive for becoming a new channel Buzz.ca sponsor this year to help us bring all of this to you. Hey, we'll be back real soon with another edition of the channel Buzz.ca podcast, as usual, bringing you the news from the biggest names in the Canadian channel space. But until then, I'm Robert Dutt for channel Buzz.ca, and I'll see you around the channel.